The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, well, coming up this morning at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, over on ESPN, our coverage of the second match of our Euro triple header begins. Denmark battles Belgium at noon, and we cap the afternoon with the Netherlands taking on Austria. All Euro matches can be seen live or later on the ESPN app. And welcome back to Get Up, coming from you live from the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase. Got a lot to get to, including a lot of football. Chris Canty, other guys, they're all here. But first, let's get to it, and we say good morning because it is time to get up with an historic flop in Philly. The Sixers fans are sick over a crucial collapse against the Hawks. Can Embiid and company save their season? Plus, no Kawhi, no problem. Paul George lifts the Clippers over the Jazz, taking the series back to L.A. And where potential gets paid. What would you bet on for the better year, Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield? Our experts weigh in on that and more as we get up right now. And we will start our show with the NBA and the performance of the night. And it came from the Jazz Clippers game. And that man, he called himself Playoff P, and he proved it. We take it to the third quarter. Game tied at 69. The tough drive there for George, giving LA the lead. Later in the third, finding Marcus Morris Sr. for the three. Clippers up six. And then Paul George himself takes it. The step back three. Steve Ballmer fired up. Clips up by nine going into the fourth. Now in the fourth quarter, Jazz down eight. Joe Ingles with the steal and throwing it to the stifled Tower, who throws it down. Jazz cut the lead to six. Now, next Jazz possession, Donovan Mitchell. The tough drive there for the bucket and the foul. Yes, says Spider. They're getting closer, but under 3 minutes to go, Terrence Mann, the slam on the stifled Tower. Wow, taking it to the defensive player of the year. Later in the fourth, Clippers up four, and Paul George squaring up and hitting the clutch shot. He had 37 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists. Ballmer thrilled, so is Paul George. And the Clippers take game five without Kawhi, 119-111. And then there was the comeback of the night, and this was a huge one. Joel Embiid and the Sixers hosting the Hawks in game five. First quarter, Sixers up seven, and Embiid was on, sinking the three-pointer from the top of the key. Sixers up 10. Next possession, Embiid against Clint Capella and finishing with a tough shot. Sixers up 62-40 at halftime. Embiid had 24 at the break. Third quarter, Hawks down 20. Sixers in transition. Ben Simmons finding Seth Curry, who drains the three. Sixers led by as many as 26 points in the third quarter. 165-0 before this game when they're up that much in a game. But guess what happened? Trae Young getting double-teamed. John Collins hitting the shot. Hawks get within eight. Hawks down four with just over 2 minutes to play. Trae Young with the floater. The Hawks within two. They could actually win this game. 130 left. Hawks down two. And Trae Young drawing the foul. Thibault getting caught there. He made all three foul shots. Under a minute to go. Gallinari, the clutch jumper. Look at Sixers fans. And Embiid at the line, just over 10 seconds left, missed the first free throw and the second. Hawks overcome a 26-point deficit. They win it 109-106. Here's Trae Young and Doc Rivers.
For a team that has no all-stars, no all-defensive players, no all-NBA players, this team is fighting. I think we just had that chip on our shoulder all year, just being overlooked and just having that underdog mentality.
Down the stretch, listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us, it's on all of us, it's on me, it's on the players, and we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game seven.
Ooh, 19 points and gave up 40 on the fourth. That is not good. We welcome in now the coaches, PJ Carlesimo and Seth Greenberg. And PJ, I'll start with you. And we touched on this with Jay Will in the previous hour. The hack-a-bench strategy was in full effect, and it was a problem for the Sixers last night. Should Doc have pulled Ben Simmons?
I don't think so. I think you do that maybe at the very end. He's doing enough other things. All you got to look at is he more valuable on the floor with his defense, with his handling, and everything else? And, you know, I think there are other issues. Their bench has gotten them in trouble a couple of times. They've been in great shape. And then when they go to the bench, the last night, Gallo and Lou Williams were so good for Atlanta and just turned the game around. And Joel Embiid at times looked like a different player. This is an unbelievable play. Runs the length of the floor and gets a block. I mean, he just looked like a completely different guy. Then you watch him in the fourth quarter. Looks like he couldn't do it right there. He doesn't have enough lift to stop Lou Williams when he goes to the basket. This team just worked on defense. Look at that hustle play by John Collins right there. He's had back-to-back double-doubles. Atlanta's making the plays at the end of the game, and Trae Young has been ridiculous. There's three all-defensive players right there. Matisse Thybulle, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. Trae Young, doesn't matter to him. He just takes it right to the rim. So Philadelphia has a lot more problems than Ben Simmons shooting free throws.
Yeah, and you talk about those problems. Seth, I have to ask you about this. Doc Rivers talked about his team exhaling too early. He said he called a timeout because right out of the beginning of the second half, it just felt like they were relaxing. How do you keep a team from doing that in a game?
Well, I think I know with the NBA and PJ, you probably can address this. You script your playing time. In the start of the fourth quarter, you usually play your second unit. Like, to me, this is a must-win game. Forget about the script. All right, you saw that all of a sudden Atlanta made a little push at the end of the third quarter. You got to go with your starters. You got to make a statement those first 4 minutes. Then you can come back to the second unit. But I thought the second unit really hurt, obviously, the Sixers. But let's face it. Hey, PJ, you got Ben Simmons. You got Tobias Harris. And you got Joel Embiid. You're paying those guys a gazillion dollars. All right? Ben Simmons hasn't got a shot up in the fourth quarter in two games. That's just the way it is. Embiid had one field goal in the fourth quarter, and Tobias Harris was 0 for 3. One of those guys has got to lead and step up. Like, to me, what, as I'm looking at it through my prism, who is the leader of this Sixers team? Who is the guy that's going to put his arms around the team and say, all right, we got to get a stop? And then defensively, I thought that Nate McMillan did a great job of attacking Seth Curry. I thought it, you know, terrific. Start of the fourth quarter, he saw Curry on Lou Williams, and he went at him, and absolutely attacked him every single possession. I think he was 6 for 7 in the fourth quarter as a primary defender defensively, Seth Curry. So I thought Nate McMillan did a great job, but I think the leadership, you got those three guys that are supposed to be the leaders of your team. Did you see leadership out of those guys, PJ, in the fourth quarter?
No, I didn't. And I didn't. I saw a different Joel Embiid. I mean, there were times during this game where he moved well. We saw the play where he ran him down from the back. He was getting off the ground. He didn't do that in the fourth quarter. You know, you got to wonder about his health. There's no question who the leader has to be. It's got to be Joel. You mentioned going after Seth. They went after Furkan Korkmaz also. Really good job identifying what they considered to be mismatches and taking care of them. And Philadelphia, for most of this year, for a good chunk of last night, Seth, is an elite defensive team.
And guys, I just want to jump in for a second because I do want to get to the Clippers and the Jazz. And Seth, I want to get your reaction to what you saw from Paul George last night.
He looked like Durant for a while, I'll tell you that much. I mean, he did whatever they needed. He scored it. He made plays for others. He defended. He rebounded the basketball. He was absolutely phenomenal. And I think Ty Lue did a great job defensively getting the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands. I mean, he ran those double teams. But Donovan Mitchell had to work for every single basket, every single shot he got, because they was always running a second defender at him. The thing with the Jazz, without Conley, they don't have another floor gamer or playmaker to take pressure off it. So Donovan Mitchell's got to facilitate. He's got to score it. And he gets no easy looks. But I thought Paul George, man, come on, get out of here. He was absolutely phenomenal. He looked like Durant to me in a lot of ways. Not Durant, please, don't at me. But like Durant.
I was at that game 5 with Durant. Man, he did. Paul George last night looked
Look at the like big very, shot. Very he just name dropping it. He was at game 5 with Durant. You know what I mean?
I got to say it. It was an amazing game. All right, so Coach PJ, I got to ask you, can the Clippers finish off the Jazz without Kawhi?
Sure they can. There's no question they can. Donovan Mitchell, I hate to keep talking about injuries, but that seems to be theme 1A with every series. Donovan Mitchell's not 100%, and it's difficult for him. Seth makes a great point. Mike Conley is so important to the Utah Jazz for getting them in to offense, from settling them down, but also for what he brings to the table in terms of his scoring. But Reggie Jackson has been unbelievable. He hit a pair of threes in the fourth quarter that were monster shots. This shot's impossible. Clock's on his back in the corner, back-to-back threes. Everybody's talking about PG's points, and well, they should, but I love the way he moved the ball. He did a heck of a job. This shot right there, that was a dagger. Royce just stuck his hand in, three-point shot. You can call yourself playoff B when you make a big shot like that, but I love the passing. Look at this. He splits. He finds Patrick Beverly right there. Marcus Morris had three threes last night. Paul George assisted on all three of them. I like the rebounds, the assists, the other things that Paul George brought to the table last night for the Clippers. They can win it. But Mike Conley comes back, Utah also. That's going to be, I hope, a great two more games.
This is going to be a tough series. All right, guys, I got to leave it there, but don't worry. We're going to have you come back in just a little bit. But I want to get everybody over to the NFL and the biggest story of the NFL offseason, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and their standoff. Because on a Zoom promoting his upcoming golf match, Aaron Rodgers was asked about his mindset during this tumultuous time.
Yeah, it's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this offseason has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
All right, so very interesting comments. I'll bring back in Booger McFarland, Chris Canty, Jeff Darlington. And Jeff, here's the thing. I think you can hear those comments and say, he's living his best life. It's the offseason. Let's give the guy a break. On the other hand, he's talking about his attitude and this relaxed attitude when guys are there in camp getting ready for the season. Is it worrisome to you to hear that?
It's not worrisome. I mean, I think this is Aaron Rodgers. This is his personality. When Mark Murphy says that he's a complicated fella, no, Mark Murphy should not say that. But the rest of us can. I mean, it's not easy to navigate Aaron Rodgers and some of the things that he says, wearing the I'm offended shirt and wondering, is he doing this to troll the rest of us or is he actually offended? I mean, there's a lot of complicated aspects of this, all of which feel very passive aggressive. It's part of the deal. It's part of where we're at, both with the NFL and with the Packers situation. So I'm exhausted by it, but I'm not offended by it. they just got to do what they're going to do, and hopefully they can figure this out before training camp starts.
Yeah, I'm not offended by it, and I'm also not exhausted by it because he just gives us new material every single day, it feels like. So
Canty, right.
I got to ask you.
That's true.
Nothing wrong with that, especially in June. So, Canty, I got to ask you, when will this be resolved in your mind?
It's going to have to be much later this summer. I mean, as we get closer to the training camp, the start of the regular season, I think those are the inflection points that we should look at for some movement between the two sides. But here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers can give off this air of being unbothered, but the situation with the Packers bothers him. You heard it after the NFC Championship game and throughout the offseason, whether he's on SportsCenter, whether he's wearing an I'm Offended t-shirt and talking about the match with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Like, this bothers him. And so while I do think there's still an opportunity for a resolution between the Packers and Aaron and Aaron potentially playing for them moving forward, I just feel like all of the noise around this makes it much more difficult. Now, if Aaron Rodgers does eventually play for the Packers again, it would be because general manager Brian Gutekunst made some huge concessions in terms of giving Aaron some guarantees about his long-term future in Green Bay. Because I think that's the genesis of all of these issues. The Packers can dictate to Aaron when his career as a Packer ends. And I think that's why he wants to get this contract situation addressed so that he can make sure that he can walk out on his own terms. Because I feel like Aaron's comments would lead us to believe that he feels like he's earned the right to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point about the money aspect of it. Yeah. Green Bay controls that. But Booger, you still have a player who is your superstar, who is the face of your franchise. And I have to think that if I'm the Packers, what I'm seeing in public from him is difficult for us. So what does the team need to do, despite their financial leverage, to get Aaron Rodgers back?
Well, what I'm seeing in public from the organization is difficult to watch. Like, everybody's going on and doing these press conferences and saying he's a complicated fellow. Aaron Rodgers is wearing a t-shirt. I'm offended. Hey, both parties are acting out of character. Here's what I will say. There's only one way that this gets resolved. Aaron Rodgers, to Jeff and Chris's point, wants to dictate when he can leave Green Bay. There's only one way you can do that. Right now, it's really simple. It's Jordan Love is not going to see the field if Aaron Rodgers is there in the next 3 to 4 years. So basically, Jordan Love is useless. So you trade Jordan Love. You give Aaron Rodgers a new 3 to 4 year extension. You guarantee the money. And now Aaron Rodgers knows that I am guaranteed a ton of money. Jordan Love is gone. I am the man. And you know what? That's the only public way of acknowledging, if you're the organization, we made a mistake and we're going to bow down to you, Aaron Rodgers. If they don't do that, there is no way to resolve the situation as long as Jordan Love is on the roster. Trade him, new contract. That's the only way Aaron Rodgers plays for Green Bay again.
I think all of our eyes just got wide as soon as you said that. We're going to come back to that a little later in the show, guys. But first, let's talk about was it the weather? Were they just trying something new? Or should Dolphins fans be concerned about a future with Tua under center? Plus, KD, the Nets, they're going to try to close out the Bucks tonight. What will it take? Our experts have the answer next on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up, and it's time to run the hurry up. Jeff Darlington, take it away.
Well, look, we got a Bears quarterback competition, but don't call it a competition. Matt Nagy making very clear that at minicamp, Andy Dalton is QB1. The depth chart looks like this. It's Andy Dalton, it's Justin Fields as the backup, Nick Foles as the third string. Nagy making very clear that if Dalton were to get hurt, it would be Fields' team to take over. We'll see what happens in the preseason if Fields lights it up. Maybe then that changes. The Broncos might have perhaps the most competitive QB competition entering training camp. And that's because they have Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater splitting first team reps, competing for that starting job. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator, saying that Lock coming in with more confidence than he had last year, understanding the system better. Bridgewater still learning things, but has experience with Shurmur. I think this one is going to be a heated battle through much of training camp. Curious situation in Miami as Tua Tagovailoa comes out and starts minicamp. I was at the first practice during those torrential rains when he threw the 5 interceptions. There is context there. I mentioned the rain. I also should mention that Brian Flores made clear to players beforehand, be aggressive, don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's what minicamp is for. The other little shred of good news here is that Tua came out a day later, didn't throw any interceptions, looked better, still struggled a bit in short yardage situations at the goal line, but ultimately threw a couple of nice touchdowns that maybe redeemed himself. Certainly not cause for panic in Miami, but definitely cause for continued conversation as the Dolphins look at this quarterback situation entering camp, hoping that Tua is their franchise guy.
All right, and so per your suggestion, let's continue that conversation and talk a little bit about Tua. And Booger, I'll start with you because, look, I get the reins part. I get the aggressive part. But if I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, I hear 5 interceptions. I don't care what time of year it is, with Tua under center, with how he did last year, and I'm concerned. Are you?
No, not at all. I'd be concerned if we were playing a game. I'd be concerned if this was any time of year where stats count. Right now, this is just mini camp practices. A lot of us are trying to get this done where we can get to our vacation. You want to get better in the offseason. Well, how do you get better? You're going to have to take risks. You're going to have to take chances. You're going to have to do things maybe that you wouldn't normally do. Now, I get it. It's concern. You never want to turn the football over as a quarterback. As a teammate, I never want to see my quarterback turning the football over. But guys, we're not keeping score right now. This is the offseason. Talk to me when you put pads on and there's an inherent thing in the back of your mind that I could knock your block off. That's when football is played. Right now, this is no more than 7-on-7, which all these high school teams are playing right now. So I get it, Tua, fans concerned. Doesn't really bother me. Talk to me in September when the games count.
And Chris is a good point, right? I mean, if he's not being aggressive right now, he's not going to learn from the mistakes that come from that aggressiveness.
No, Ryan, you're absolutely right. And to Boog's point, a lot of the times during these OTAs and mini camps, coaches will put players in adverse circumstances. They'll tell them to go to the line of scrimmage and run the play, regardless of the look that the defense is giving them, where under normal circumstances, an offensive coordinator or a play caller will give them the opportunity to check out of that play to a better play. So, I mean, there could be some of that going on with Tua. But, again, I don't know that the concern level down in South Florida would be as high with their quarterback had we not heard the rumblings about the organization potentially being interested in trading for one of these big-time quarterbacks that might have came available this offseason. So I think that that also plays a part into the extra scrutiny that Tua Tagovailoa is seeing right now. But I don't put a lot of stock in what's happening right now. And maybe it's because I came into the NFL under Bill Parcells and he only had a couple of OTA practices going into minicamp. He just did that because he didn't want to get his guys to get in any trouble during the offseason, give us something to do during the calendar. But again, you can't put too much stock in guys running around shorts and helmets.
All right, so Jeff, I wonder what are coaches, and I know we're sort of trying to quell the alarm here, but I wonder how coaches are doing that about Tua.
Yeah, I understand, by the way, both sides of this, because the conversation is a continuation from last season when even the head coach had to pull Tua at times to put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, like, I don't think we should overreact by any means, but I understand some of the conversation we're having when he does throw five picks in practice. That said, it is important to delineate the fact that going into that day, I had conversations with people in that building who were like, yeah, he's come in different. He doesn't have to worry about rehab. He's not focused on the hip rehabilitation. He's not in a pandemic year where he's kind of thwarted by that whole thing. So they really believe that he has made great strides this offseason. I think we'll see more of that in training camp. That said, I get why we're watching this so closely.
And again, if he learns from those mistakes, Dolphins fans might be very happy. So we'll see what happens there. All right, well, coming up on Get Up, the Nets, Kevin Durant. Well, he carried those Nets past the Bucks in Game 5. Can KD and company finish the job tonight? That and more coming up on Get Up. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Seth Greenberg. Seth, who is the only player in NBA history to record a 50-point triple-double in the playoffs? That Seth is thinking, and we will be back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
5-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Followed by a stop in to Get Up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st, starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get Up on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
Back with you on Get Up with a little sneaky Hembo time for Seth Greenberg. Okay, Seth, so who is the only player in NBA history to record a 50-point triple-double in the playoffs?
So first, I think that promo was like a pump fake. You know, Magic Johnson, triple-doubles. I know the way Hembo works. I know that's got to be a pump fake. So okay. I'm saying the guy that like that, like triple doubles, like every time he got out of bed. And that's, I'm going to say Russell Westbrook.
Oh, you are correct. And let me just say,
Where's Hembo when I need him?
I feel like that was too easy. Russell Westbrook did it in 2017. Hembo, I think Hembo's going to do better next time. He's ready for you.
Hembo, Dan Graziano owns you, and now I do.
Oh, laying down the gauntlet. I like that. Woo. All right, we'll see how Hembo responds. Let's run the floor. Last night, the Sixers had a 26-point lead on the Hawks, and at one point, a 99% chance of winning the game. Atlanta, however, stormed back, and they won it 109-106. Trae Young had a career playoff high with 39 points. The Hawks are now up 3-2 in that series. And then there were the Clippers. They were without Kawhi Leonard last night, but Paul George stepped up and led LA to a road win over the Jazz 119-111. There you see Kyrie and KD, but again, I'll tell you about Paul George because that was quite a moment. But then we'll talk about the Nets and the Bucks because they had a great series. And Woj joined us earlier talking about KD, Kyrie joining that, had that sprained ankle. He joined us earlier to talk about the update for Kyrie and James Harden. Take a listen.
Kyrie Irving continues to rehab that ankle, get treatment on it every day. Right now, there's no expectation that we would see him in this conference semifinal series. And if the Nets do advance and beat Milwaukee, they'll hope that as he continues the treatment and rehab, perhaps there's a chance he could play in the next round, but they don't have a real timetable on Irving's return yet.
Okay, the operative word there, hope. The coaches are back with us, P.J. Carlissimo and Seth Greenberg. P.J., by the way, is going to be on the radio call for the Nets-Bucks game tonight. And, P.J., I'll start with you. What does Milwaukee need to do tonight to keep the series going?
Well, they need a little bit of both, Ryan, but when they've won, when they've looked good, they've done a great job defensively. They've held that team under 100 points twice, which is really difficult to do. So they need to defend better than they did in the second half. They did a good job in the first half, and they need a little more help. They need Chris Middleton to play like the all-star that he is. He had a good game. He needs to have a better game. They've been really good at five-serve form. I think that's going to be important, and hopefully Kevin is not otherworldly in this one. The things he did were just incredible. I mean, he gets steals, rebounds. He's got the ability to put the ball on the floor. He beats them off the dribble. People said, well, you know, why don't you do anything? There's a steal. He had three steals in the game. He had 10 assists. Those are worth talking about. You know, if one person did that, you'd talk about that. His defense was really good. He forced Giannis to, you know, take the shot there, but he gets the rebound. But those two threes late in the game, when it's on the line, I mean, James Harden was stuck near half court in that play. He just comes up and grabs it and knocks it down. If he's in that zone again, it's a problem. You know, everybody wants to put Giannis on him. Giannis is going to stop him. Giannis fouled out to begin with. That's a tough cover, but Mike Budenholzer's got a better feel how many minutes Giannis can play him, if indeed he can play him at all. Seth can play him. I can't see anybody else who can guard him like that. Seth's the guy who could really do a job on him, Ryan, if they could just get him active.
I can rebound balls when he shoots because I can just stand underneath the net and kick it back out to him. I can warm him up. But, you know, PJ, here's the deal. I'm not politically correct because I don't live in that NBA world. But I think there are three things that has to happen for the Bucks to win. And first and foremost, either they got to play ahead of the defense. If they can't play ahead of the defense, they got to move the ball on people. It sounds sophomoric, but when they move the ball on people and then force people to close out and can drive closeouts, like they play too much isolation basketball in the second half. It just doesn't make any sense. Someone needs to tell Giannis, you're not shooting threes. I understand you're the franchise. We've got to make you happy, but you're not shooting threes. You've got to attack. You can't shoot fadeaway jumpers on the left block when you get Harden on you. And then I think you got to make James Harden guard. I mean, like, we saw Harden. He facilitated, did some great things. I'd like to try to see, make him guard on a ball reversal, attack him a little bit. And then, in the fourth quarter, and I don't think you start the game, but in the fourth quarter, you got to go good on good. I mean, because, I mean, Durant's just different. And I understand you can use Giannis as a help defender, and he can impact the game as a help defender, but at the end of the game, he was defensive player of the year. Won't you want to take your best defender, if he's not in foul trouble, and you can't wear him out in the first three quarters, and say, you know what, we're going to guard you, and we're going to even give you help maybe. I mean, does that make any sense? Again, I don't live in your world, but you know, if this was a college game, that's what I would be thinking.
And guys, I want to jump in just real quick on Harden, because watching that game, you just got the sense that they weren't troubled with his ability to shoot. He was hurt. It looked like he was maybe hurting a little bit. He was used much more as a decoy. PJ, how much do you play him tonight if he's available? Or do you go with somebody else who might just be a little bit more healthy?
Well, you know, Ryan, I think that's a big discussion they're having right now, whether you could even make the case for, let's not play him. Let's not play him now. He's dinged up. Let's try and get him healthy. Maybe we even get lucky. Maybe we win without him, and he gets a couple more days rest for the next series. They played him 46 minutes the other night, which was unbelievable. Some of those ISOs that Seth talked about were the Bucks trying to go against him. They were trying to get that switch they wanted, and then they went after him. But first half, he really looked out of sorts. I mean, offensively, never looked like James Harden. But he had the assists, he had the rebounds, and he had a couple of stops. That play late in the game that we had on before when Giannis mm-hmm. settled. He had James down on that left block, and he settled for the fadeaway jump shot. I think what he did being on the floor was more important than what he did on the floor.
Okay, real quick, guys. I'll ask you first, Seth, who wins?
I think the Nets win. I really do. I think, to me, it's Durant. I mean,
you got the Nets. You got
Bucks.
The Nets. PJ, who do you have?
Bucks at home. The home court's been big. They've been too good all year. They'll find a way to win it.
Okay. I like it when coaches disagree. Thank you, gentlemen.
He's appreciate a lot smarter
we'll
than me,
see what
though.
Will happen tonight. And after a spectacular performance by Kevin Durant, Game 5, we have Game 6. Nets Bucks tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. Chris Canty rubbing his hands. Also on ESPN Deportes and the ESPN at Sports Center with Stephen A. Smith starts our coverage at 7 Eastern, followed by the Countdown crew. They're going to take you right up to game time. Now let's go back to the NFL and get on the clock with our guys. Chris Canty, I'll start with you. Where will Aaron Rodgers be in week one of this season?
Ryan is going to be in Green Bay, man, and I know there's been a lot of noise about Aaron Rodgers wanting out, but the fact is that they're better together than they are apart. For the Packers, you've gone to back-to-back conference title games, 26 wins in the two seasons under Matt LaFleur. It's hard to imagine Jordan Love stepping in 2021 and playing at a level that allowed a team to get back to that point. And for Aaron Rodgers, right now, he's playing for his legacy. And when it comes to that GOAT talk, he needs to try to add another championship. The best opportunity for him to do that is the Green Bay Packers. I mean, everybody's talking about the Denver Broncos. They're in the AFC West. You know who else is there? The Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. So I'm just saying, when you're looking at opportunities to win a chip, the best place for Aaron Rodgers is Green Bay.
All right, Jeff, revisiting this from earlier in the week, who is the best running back in the NFL?
I'm 1A, 1B, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and I think coming off of injuries, both these guys have a ton to prove in this situation. Alvin Kamara also deserves plenty of respect. Personally, I just think McCaffrey is going to be an absolute beast. So too about Saquon. So those are my 1A, 1B. And by the way, I just want to point something out. Candy talking about Aaron Rodgers here, man. He's saying some very smart things these past couple segments. I don't know who he's talking to. We should be listening closely. That's what I'm using my last 7 seconds there for.
And a good use indeed. All right, Booger, I'll come to you. Hey, Booger, who is your pick to win the U.S. Open?
I love it. Let's talk a little golf. In my ode to Greeny, I'm going with Xander Schauffele. I think, you know, the local kid, he had the heartbreak at the Masters with the 8-iron on 16 where he put in the water. I think he'll bounce back. Xander Schauffele wins the U.S. Open. You got to know how to putt those Poana greens out in California. So nothing like a California guy understanding how to get it done. And by the way, it's his time. Like, he's one of the best players in the world. It's time that he wins a major. And my ode to Mike Greenberg. Greeny, we got a little golf in just for you, buddy. Xander Schauffele wins the U.S.
Hey,
Open.
Hey, would you make the cut, Booger, if you were playing in this U.S. Open?
Not even close. I don't know if I could break 200 with all this rough out there, man.
I was surprised. I thought it was going to be like, well, maybe. You never know. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Well, coming up this morning, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, over on ESPN, our coverage of the second match of our Euro triple header begins. Denmark battles Belgium at noon, and then we cap off the afternoon with the Netherlands taking on Austria. All Euro matches can be seen live or later on the ESPN app. Well, coming up, it could be a legacy-defining year for both Lamar and for Baker. So who will take their team deeper into the playoffs? Our experts answer that question coming up next on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up and to the NFL, where Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, both first-round picks in the 2018 draft, are eligible for contract extensions. And both quarterbacks were asked about those situations, and here's what they had to say.
I mean, I'm in no rush because I'm just trying to win games, and like I said, it'll handle itself. I mean, I've bet on myself my whole life. I've always taken it one day at a time, one play at a time, and like I said, I'm not going to handle it any differently now.
You know, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not really focused on that right now. I'm focused on getting me a Super Bowl. You know, I'm focused on getting better.
All right, they're all saying the right things. Let's bring our guys back in. And, Jeff, Speaking about the money here, you brought up something really interesting in our morning meeting about when to pay quarterbacks and how to decide the time is right. Talk about that.
Yeah, Ryan, I think we have this recent trend that actually kind of contradicts itself. You can look at it either way. If you go back to the Carson Wentz deal, remember when he signed his extension with the Eagles and you were probably thinking to yourself, mm-hmm. Wow, that felt kind of early and unnecessary. It was like, I think even before they picked up his fifth-year option. And it felt like, okay, they're confident in him. And obviously they regret that based on the outcome ultimately of the situation. But then you flip to the other side of it and say, okay, well, maybe they should have waited longer. Look at the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. They waited beyond the moment that probably was the threshold and ultimately created some drama. And I don't want to say they overpaid, but they certainly seem to have paid more than they initially wanted to. Finding that middle ground with these quarterbacks before the fourth season or maybe into it feels like a really nuanced art for these general managers and these organizations. It's now what the Ravens and the Browns are both facing, and actually to a different degree perhaps the Bills with Josh Allen. It's not all like Patrick Mahomes where you give him the 10-year deal and you move about your ways. These are very complicated situations, and I'll be very interested to see not only how much they pay them, but when they ultimately pay these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, the win being so key. So, Canty, I come to you because where is that line, do you think, for these two quarterbacks? Where is that win where you're not doing the Dak Prescott thing, but you're not doing the Carson Wentz? Like, where's the line where you can get right in the sweet spot for these guys?
Well, I think both of these quarterbacks checked a lot of boxes last year. I mean, both of them won playoff games. And for Lamar Jackson, he was able to actually do that on the road.
So you pay him now?
I think that was a huge question. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that you pay Lamar Jackson now. The guy's got an MVP under his belt. His team has made the playoffs every single year, yeah. And he's under the age of 25. To me, it's a no-brainer situation. And Jeff brought up something interesting when it came to the Carson Wentz situation versus Dak Prescott. Keep in mind, the Baltimore Ravens once upon a time had Joe Flacco and played out the string with him, and that led to Joe Flacco getting a monster contract and the Ravens being on the outside looking into the playoffs for the next five seasons. So if you're Baltimore, you don't want to repeat that same mistake. The moment that you know you've got your guy in Lamar Jackson, you lock him in. I think we've gotten to that point.
Yeah, and if he has a great year, an MVP, even close to an MVP year, you have to wonder what they're going to have to pay him in that vein. So then, Booger, I ask you about Baker. Where is that line for him?
Well, I think the line for both of them is very similar. You know, Jeff brings up a great point about these GMs. And I think the GMs have to pay these quarterbacks. To me, it's about what you pay them. It's not about if you pay them. It's about what you pay them. Think about this. These teams have these players really for four more years. You got year four, you got the fifth year option, and then you can franchise them twice. So you really have them for four more years. So who has all the leverage? The GM, the team. So make sure you get a team-friendly deal. You don't have to pay these guys $45 million a year. And quite frankly, I wouldn't. I don't think Lamar, based on the type of offense they run, based on his inefficiencies in the passing game, I wouldn't pay him $45 million a year. And Baker Mayfield, I need to see it again from you before I even remotely think about giving you $45 million a year. If I'm a general manager, I'm going to pay both of the guys. But hear me clearly. I'm going to do it from a team-friendly deal standpoint. And here's why. Because we have them under control, Jeff, for four more years. So why would you break the bank and give them a Deshaun Watson, a Patrick Mahomes, or a Dak Prescott? There's really no need to. And I think if you did, you would regret it.
Okay, so guys.
Yeah, you know, you got to come to the table early.
Quickly, Jeff, go ahead.
Scott McLuhan, the former Redskins of Washington football team general manager, when it came to Kirk Cousins, he told me at one point that they reached a point where they were never going to get the Kirk Cousins deal because he had exceeded what the value was going to be, and they could never bring that bridge back together. It's a tough thing to time it right. You got to find that moment to strike with these quarterbacks.
Okay, Canty, a couple seconds. Who goes further this season, Browns or Ravens, taking it to the team level?
I'm going to go with the Browns. When I look at teams that can contend for championships, I want to see a couple of things. First of all, a high level of quarterback play, but then the ability to control the offensive line and rush the passer. I have more questions about the Baltimore Ravens with their ability to get after opposing quarterbacks than I do the Cleveland Browns. The issue on the Browns side, that defense, they shored that up on the back end with what they did in free agency in the draft. So, again, when you start looking at the two teams, they're really close, but I would give the edge to the Browns.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Now, talking about this, coming back, when we come back, I should say, Aaron Rodgers, well, he's not the first player to skip camps in the summer, but I got to tell you, this has felt different, so where do we go from here? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
Five-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Followed by a stop in to get up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st, starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get up on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
And coming up on First Take, should we rip the Sixers or credit the Hawks? Plus, Paul George, is he good enough for the Clippers to win a title? That and more coming up at the top of the hour. Well, let us finish up our show with a little Aaron Rodgers, shall we? His passive-aggressive comments have been on full display this offseason. Take a listen to him on a Zoom call promoting his upcoming golf match, wearing a shirt that says, "I'm offended." Now, I want to bring back in the guys to talk a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers. And, guys, Booger, I got to start with you because you dropped an absolute bomb on us last hour about Aaron Rodgers and the whole situation. And I just want you to explain it to us again about what you said with respect to Jordan Love.
Well, if you think about this, I think we all agree Aaron Rodgers has 3 to 4 high-level years of football left. That would take out the rest of Jordan Love's contract. So theoretically, if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, if he does come back, Jordan Love is not going to see the field anyway. So if you're Green Bay and you want to make this thing right, you trade Jordan Love because he's not going to play anyway. You're going to have Aaron Rodgers playing at a high level for the next 4 years. You give him a 3 to 4 year deal. You sweeten it to $40, $45 million a year. He's the highest paid quarterback in football. And your quarterback position is solved for the next 4 years. And you show to Aaron publicly, hey, we made a mistake. We're not going to fire the GM, Brian Gutekunst. But what we'll do is we'll trade Jordan Love. We'll move on. We will let you dictate the end of your career. And we will prepare for the future when the future gets here.
You know, Booker, can I just say, I love that reasoning. I think that reason is spectacular because it's almost like you're ironing out how things could work out and how to make them happy, and it satisfies everybody. Canty, what do you think about it?
It feels a lot like the blueprint that you saw at the end of Tom Brady's tenure in New England when he forced Jimmy Garoppolo to get traded to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Patriots got a couple of championships out of the deal, but it became clunky in terms of them, where they're at now, their succession plan at the quarterback spot. So if you're Green Bay, the situation ain't what you want. It was never going to be a seamless transition when you consider who you're dealing with in Aaron Rodgers. But I think you have to look at it as taking the opportunity to compete for a championship while you still got it. And with Aaron Rodgers under center, MVP, you got to try to find a way to make it right and bring him back.
And you got to get creative, right, Jeff? You got to find a way to do something that makes an impact on what Rodgers has been talking about, which is the culture and how people are treated.
Yeah, and this is speculative, but I would imagine so Aaron is always super counterintuitive with all this stuff. Like he'll think the opposite. Like, I think if you were to trade Jordan Love again, he would almost scoff at that and be like, really? You made that mistake and now you're – I mean, I understand the idea of admission and trying to be contrite and make up for things. I just think at this point, Canty made a very good, poignant moment earlier in the show when he said, this is about – giving Aaron the proper exit plan. This is about setting him up, knowing that he has to have the confidence that when the Packers unload him, that he will be protected contractually and he will ultimately be happy with that. To me, that's what this is more about than making him happy right now. It's making sure that he has faith and confidence that whatever happens next to him, he will be protected. So I like the idea of it, the idea of contrition and making up for past woes. But I just don't think that Rodgers, I don't think that's something that he'd look at and say, oh, you know what, we're all good now, let's just move on.
Yeah, I say it all, so frustrating. I say it all the time, you can't negotiate the past. But Booker, I just keep reaching for something that they can do because it just still seems like his best chance to win it all is in Green Bay.
Without a doubt. And I'll end it by saying this. I'll go on record. I don't think he ever plays for Green Bay again. I don't think they're going to trade Jordan Love. I just think there's too much ill will and there's too much ego up in that Green Bay front office.
All right. Canty?
Yeah. It's...
Play in Green Bay again?
Yeah, he's going to play in Green Bay again. If he doesn't, both sides would be cutting their nose off despite their face. It absolutely makes no sense.
And that has happened over and over again in the NFL. So maybe that's what's going to happen. We'll have to see. All right, guys, thank you so much. Great show. Great job. And we will be back with you tomorrow. But right now, stay right here for Get Up.